Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. I'm excited about getting Josh Costell back on the show because he likes to talk about things that one of the things that's most important to me, one of the things that I really like talking about, and that's selling, taking our products and services to the marketplace, penetrating the market with the things that we sell and putting our best foot forward out there, walking up and knocking on those doors and saying, "Hi, I'm Jim. How do you like me so far?" And Josh is the author of a book called The Science of Sales Success. He has been a national sales manager for a Fortune 500 company. That means he knows what's going on when it comes to selling. He's our friend, Josh Costell. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Great to be back. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. And one of the things that I know you want to talk about today is something that I encourage people to understand and to really get into all the time, and that is the issue of whether selling is a science or an art. And what I tell them is it's both, but it's mostly science. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, Jim. And the reason why you want selling to be a science and not an art is because, you know, when you think about an art, it means that there might not be a formula that you can use. And I'm not saying that selling is cooking cutter, but the thing about selling being a science, it means that you can duplicate success on a planned basis. And you can't do that with an art. Art implies that you have to redraw the picture every time. Mm-hmm. But you're right to the extent that if people say selling is an art when they mean you have to be creative, the answer is absolutely yes. But the key is to be creative within a scientific framework.
Well, I try to say it is to think of it like a golf pro. Watch a golf pro on television hit a golf ball. They want their, you know, if you ask them about their swing, they don't say anything about being creative. They'll say, "I want my swing to be predictable and repeatable."
Exactly.
But then, Josh, you'll hear the commentators or talk about when they're around the green. And they got some kind of an unusual lie or they got something between them and the hole, they'll say, "Now watch this, he's a real creative guy with his club in his hand." And so what they've done is they've taken that predictable, repeatable, they've added a little creativity to it, and they take advantage of the unusual situation.
And that's exactly what you want to do in selling. And when I refer to selling as a science, Jim, what I'm saying is that there are certain forces that act on a sales situation, whether you're aware of them or not. And it's the same way when you go around a turn in your car, you're going to have gravity and centrifugal force act on that car when you're making the turn. And what we've proven and shown is that there's factors, predictable factors in a sales situation that will determine the outcome of it. That doesn't mean that if you know what these factors are, you're going to get the job or get the sale. What it will tell you whether you're the best fit for this opportunity. And that's really how you increase productivity as a salesperson, is you make what I refer to well-qualified and quickly advance or abandon decisions. In other words, do you stay with an opportunity or do you get out of it? Because especially if you're a small business person, you can't afford to invest a lot of resources in an opportunity that you're not going to get.
That's actually not an easy thing to do, though, is it? I mean, it's hard for us to, because I know myself, Josh, over the years, I've been given what I thought was an opportunity, and I just stayed with it too long, because an opportunity, you know, it's not like we have 1,000 of these things. You know, maybe we only got a few of them in front of us right now, and we always assume that it's not happening because we aren't doing something right. And the truth is, it just might not be right for us.
Exactly. And where that comes in, Jim, is, and we've all been down that road where, you know, we hope springs eternal, and we listen to the one or two maybe signs from the customer,
right,
while we ignore, we don't, typically a salesperson, at least from my experience, and I've been on over 1,000 joint sales calls worldwide, is that most salespeople will stop asking questions when they get a maybe, because it's almost like they don't want to continue in finding out the business decisions to
right.
find out that this person really isn't going to do business with you. And the shame of that, Jim, is that what you find out on the 10th call of why they won't do business with you, you could have found out on the first one.
On the first one, if you know the science of selling, that's true. Stand by, Josh. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to decommoditize whatever you sell. Stay with us. 22. When you wake up in the morning and the light is hurt your head. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and let me remind you about our show coming up straight ahead. We got Mike Fletcher. Fletcher, I guess this is how you say his last name. Mike Fletcher is going to join us from Baghdad. That's right. We have another friend, and, you know, Rich Galen has been with us before, reporting on how things are going on over in Iraq and in the war and the turning over of that country to those folks over there. But Mike Fletcher is focusing on the marketplace. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get Mike to tell us how the entrepreneurs are doing, how the Iraqi entrepreneurs are doing over there. Are they emerging? Are they doing well? Are they excited? Are they excited about their prospects? And we're going to get Mike to do that, and that's coming up first. Then Russell Brown is going to talk to us some more about buying and selling a business. And then we're going to talk to Andrew Zacharakis and John Deeney, and I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. I want to get back to our friend Josh Costell, because we're talking about the science of sales success. That's the title of his book. Josh, on the, you know, if somebody said, well, why do I really need to know about science? We're going to talk about the science of selling. We're going to talk about something that I think will help them appreciate this, because, as you know, Josh, more and more, everything that we sell today is becoming a commodity. I mean, even computers are commodities anymore. An automobile is a commodity now. A refrigerator certainly is. And all the, you know, it's just whatever you want to buy, you can get six ways from Sunday at almost any price you want to pay. That basically makes it a commodity. So how do we decommoditize what we sell? And small business owners have got to learn how to do this, because, as you know, the price war has been waged and we lost.
Absolutely, Jim. And first, to understand decommoditizing a product, you got to look to really what's the definition of a commodity. A commodity is when the only measurable value that a customer assigns to a product or a service is the price mm-hmm. or the delivery they get it. How quick mm-hmm. can they get it, and what's the price of it? So basically they're saying all products are the same except for the difference in the cost, the initial price, and the delivery dates. You know, obviously if you're in an emergency and you can get, you don't care about price, even if two items are exactly the same, if you can get one item before the other, mm-hmm. you're gonna pay for it. But when we say decommoditize a product, it means how do you shift from the buying decision being based on delivery or price? And the way you do that, Jim, is the term we like to use is you build the solutions, your products and services, from the customer's goals down, not your features up. And mm-hmm. what we mean by that is you need to help customers understand what goals they're trying to accomplish and what is the measurable benefits in financial terms that they receive from achieving those goals. For example, if someone says they want to, you know, minimize downtime. Let's say they own a building and they don't want the air conditioning to go down, and they want a service agreement to minimize downtime. Well, there's probably 100 companies that can tell you that they can help you minimize downtime. That means you're, like you pointed out, you know, six ways from Sunday, you now have a commodity. But if you ask that customer, well, how are you measuring downtime and what is it worth to you? And the customer tells you, well, every time our operations get interrupted, it costs us $10,000 an hour. Well, if you can then show him how you can impact, you know, an hour's worth of downtime better than someone else, then you've basically now have decommoditized your solution.
Exactly, because and see, the thing is, Josh, this is why the message that you deliver in your book and the things that we're talking about right now, this is why it's critical for small business, because the more things become commodities, and as you say, people only focus on when they think of a commodity because of the price and the availability. The more things become commodities, the harder it is for small businesses to compete unless they figure out a way to get people off the price issue. And the only way to do that, if you're selling something that Walmart sells and it's exactly the same thing, the only way you can beat Walmart is to deliver it in a way that makes it not so much of a commodity. Make the doing business with you for that particular product, make it special.
Jim, that's a great point, because most of the time what the term that is called a unique strength or a differential advantage. In other words, what do you have that no one else has? And normally it's not at the product level, it's at the business transaction level. For example, you know, you might take credit when someone else doesn't. You give people different terms. You give them extended warranties. And this is the way that you can help decommoditize the way, you know, your products and the way people buy. The other big issue to help...
Let me stop you for a second.
Sure.
Hold on to that thought, because I want to come back to that. But we're about to go to a break. And I want to say one thing before we do. Ladies and gentlemen, it sounds like we're talking about a business philosophy, but these are the things that you and I have to instill in our salespeople, in ourselves. We've got to explain this, because your salespeople, if they don't understand what we're talking about right now, they're going to be intimidated by the big boxes. They're going to be intimidated by any competitor that's got a little bit of an extra wrinkle that you currently don't have. And you've got to be able to build this kind of an attitude into your salespeople through the science of selling, by the repeatable, predictable elements of selling. And that's what Josh is talking about. We come back. We got more to come after these messages. This is very important. This is the essence of small business success in the 21st century. Tintail. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, having more fun than the law allows, with our good friend Josh Costell, the author of The Science of Sales Success. Josh, give us your website and tell us where your book's available.
Okay, my website is MeasureMax. MeasureMax.com. And the book is available at bookstores, and probably the easiest place to get it is Amazon.com.
And that's Costell, Josh Costell, just like it sounds. So check that out when you get a chance. Don't forget to check out his website, too. Josh, I interrupted you. You had one more point you wanted to make, and then I've got another question I want to ask you. Can you pick back up where I interrupted you?
Yes, Jim, absolutely. One of the keys to decommoditizing your product is that you have to ask your customer, how do you measure value? And if the only and the key and the reason why most salespeople won't ask that, Jim, is because they would be afraid if the customer said to them, "I'm not sure." And the one thing, the rally killer of a sales call is two, what do you mean? What do I mean in a row? You know, so you can't go, how do you measure value? And the customer goes, what do you mean? And then the salesperson goes, well, what do you mean? What do I mean? So, and the challenge that you have is the sale is won not at the product level, but at the measurable value level. In other words, what system do they use to measure value? If it's just price and delivery, obviously it means that they view everything you have as a commodity.
Send them to Walmart. Send them to Walmart.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, don't waste. And that goes back to what you were saying earlier. Once you've convinced yourself that that's all this person's ever going to do, you need to cut loose from them. You said that earlier.
Absolutely.
They're wasting your time.
But, the key is to know when to cut loose. Just
that's
because
right.
the easiest thing to measure is price and delivery, so you need to come up with different ways to measure value for them based on what they're trying to accomplish. You know, maybe a better way you find out for a customer measure value is hours of downtime. Measure value is cost of the life cycle cost of a product. You know, what does it cost to operate a product? What does it cost to maintain it? You know, items along those lines, that's what you need to know. If the customer doesn't, and by doing that, that's how you become a customer expert. Mm-hmm. If you know how to measure value that they should be looking, different ways to measure value that they can obtain from achieving their goals, when you know that, when they don't, that makes you the expert.
Absolutely. And you know, this value thing, Josh, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and you tell me if you think, you know, what you think about this. I don't think it's out on a limb. I think it's right on the money, and that is that if you're the cheapest, if you're trying to fight a price war, then I said it earlier, you know, that war is over and we lost. And if you're not more expensive, and if you don't have a plan for how to charge more for whatever it is you sell, even if Walmart or whoever sells it for less, if you're not selling it for more, then you're not charging enough. And in my opinion, you're not going to succeed. You're not going to make it. What do you think, Josh?
Right. I mean, you can't. You got to first. And Jim, you hit on a great point. Is that you're not for everyone. So the key is, who is your ideal customer?
Targeted customers who appreciate the value that you deliver, which is the essence of your small business.
Exactly. And the nice part is, I mean, the definition of a market segment is a group of customers that respond to the same offer the same way. I mean, mm-hmm. and I firmly believe in market segments. And the key is that you need to recognize what market segments will place the most value on your goals. And often that's going to come down again to how do they measure value. And in my book, I have a whole chapter, you know, that obviously we can't do now, but it gets into great detail on the different ways that customers measure value and how you can position your product to, you know, take advantage of the way they measure it. But the fact of the matter, Jim, is by saying that we're not for everyone, there's no gimmicks and there's no tricks. Mm-hmm. Either what you're offering gives real value or it doesn't.
Josh, I'm going to have to stop you, but when you come back next time, let's do the how to measure value episode. What do you think?
Absolutely. Sounds like a great topic.
Let's do that next time. Josh Costell, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Science of Sales Success. Thanks, Josh, for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim. Everyone, have a great weekend.
We'll see you next time. Josh Costell, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post on our behalf around the world. God bless you. God be with you. We are very proud of you. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.